185miles south.com.
Smash that Patreon button.
Miles South, a hardcore punk rock podcast. What's up, everyone? I got Keith and Patrick from Restraining Order. Dudes, last weekend was your record release weekend in Massachusetts, New York, Philly. And everyone out there, if you weren't there, you fucked up. 2 weeks before that, you played Sound of Fury in the greatest state in the history on Earth. And a week before that, you entered the hallowed hall of hardcore bands who have released two great LPs. So guys, congrats on your second LP. It's titled Locked in Time. It came out on July 21st, 2023 on Triple B Records. Patrick, how happy are you with this record personally, and how has the overall response been?
Personally, I'm very happy with the record, very happy with how it came out and everything we did, and everyone seems to love it, so very happy to hear it.
That rules. Same question to you, Keith.
Yeah, same thing. I'm just happy that it's finally out, because I feel like, obviously, like, I've had the tracks for a while and wanted to play them and hear them on a platform, so I'm glad they're out. People are loving it or liking it, so it's cool.
How hard is it, like, being a band in 2023 when, like, the lead times for records is so long, right? Like, you've had these songs since the beginning of the year, like, you're sitting on them. Is that, like, just a total nightmare as a band? Like, you want to get there out there and play it, but you got to hold them back, like, to wait for a physical release?
Yeah, I definitely. Say, like, yes and yes.
Yes and no, yeah, the...
Cause like, I feel like we've just been so busy all the time that, like, playing shows that we don't even we notice, but we have so much else going on that it's like,
doesn't, kinda comes up quick.
Yeah. It kind of comes up quick.
Yeah. We're listening to Restraining Order. It's like kind of hard to lock down your sound. What were your major influences, like, of the band? And then what was a mission statement for Restraining Order when you started the band?
So it is hard because we're just influenced by a lot, like a lot of different eras and bands, like early 80s, like hardcore, 2000s, kind of like the No Ways records. That was kind of like what we wanted to do when we first started. Like, me, it's funny because me and Pat we went to this fest, Not Dead Yet, in Toronto, and we saw that band Career Suicide. And I've always wanted to do like a band of like, in that ilk, and after we saw them, we're like, yo, let's start this band. So that was kind of like the mindset in starting the band. But I would say influences, yeah. Go ahead.
I was gonna say, it's cool because, like, also when we started, like, we knew we wanted to do something special, like, you know, we wanted to do something bigger than, like, the other bands we did, and, like, get out there and tour, and, like, you know, whatever happens, but we wanted to, like, do a band where not only we wanted to make this sound, we wanted to, like, really make it happen as well.
Yeah.
Restraining Order is known mostly as a fast band, but really, like, you're a band that's, like, perfected the mid-tempo banger. You know, on the first record, Don't Really Think, Be Like Me, Something for the Youth, like, these are all standout tracks. And this album, more than half the record is mid-tempo bangers. Do you think that Restraining Order kind of got unfairly pigeonholed as just being a fast band?
Absolutely. It's funny always hearing what people compare us to, but I remember one podcast or interview or something where the guy was like, compared us to like a lot of like early, like 70s punk and garage rock and stuff like that. And I was like, oh, this guy kind of gets it, because we draw from that too. And I feel like we do have a lot of mid-tempos songs. And I think we just have a lot of energy, and then we do have the fast songs, and then we play like mostly shows of like, I don't know, like heavier bands, because they're like all our friends, and you know, so, and we're hardcore kids, so like people who are like hear like moshy stuff all the time, and then they like hear us, they're just like, the first thing that comes to mind is like, oh, fast hardcore band.
Yeah, what do you think, Patrick?
Yeah, I mean, we do definitely get thrown in like the fast category, but I love the mid tempo stuff. I think that's the funnest stuff to write. I think that's like what stands out the most in a way, because that's always the one everyone's singing along to. Everyone's, you know, big pylons and everything on all the videos coming out for.
Yeah, respect. Speaking of mid tempo bangers, though, Locked in Time, title track, is one of the standout songs on this record. You take a risk, you fuck with some clean channel guitar. What made you want to go there, and was there any apprehension about doing so, Keith?
So the masterminds, I would say the writing behind the writing force is our drummer Will and guitar player Kyle. They're kind of the masterminds for like most of the songs musically. But I know we kind of dabbled with it in The World of Too Much with the title track of that song. And, you know, we're like, we just want to play like, you know, rock and roll too, you know, like we, like Pat sang, like we really like the mid-tempo songs. They stand out. They're fun. So I think that we're just, you know, just continuing with that and just taking a chance, like just playing stuff that we, you know, writing stuff that we like. And it's kind of like, oh, I guess if other people like it, that's cool.
It's cool because I always like it too. I always enjoy it. Like when they sent me that song, I was just like, whoa, all right, like let's go.
Yeah, like that little lead, the ba-ning-ning-ning.
Yes, so good.
Yeah, it's like cruising, like that long drive through the desert, you know, the sun setting behind the mountains. It's a fucking vibe.
Yeah, and then right after that, the chorus hits and it's like perfect.
Yeah, so ill. Yeah. The cover art for This World Is Too Much is one of the greatest album covers of all time. And the cover for Locked in Time, it makes me feel like I'm missing something because I'm not on acid. What are you going for here with this record cover? And what was the approach for following up on something so iconic, Keith?
Callum Rooney, like from New Zealand, he's an artist, did that artwork for us. We kind of gave him a direction and had him just roll with it. We kind of did want something kind of like trippy and like, honestly, a little more like psychedelic-y had in mind. But when he sent us that, we're just like, oh, this is perfect. Yeah, we just wanted something really abstract and weird. I don't know if we could have followed up with the This World Is Too Much, because everybody was just like loving that artwork. I was just like, yeah, I don't think there's a way we can one up that. But
yeah, we wanted something that's.
Yeah, because all of our stuff has been like black and white, so we're like, we want something with more color.
Patrick, how does it feel to be that dude on that album cover, like in that iconic ass photo?
I mean, it's sick. I remember when that photo came out, I put in my story right away. We were already planning on putting the LP out. So my friend's like, oh, you got to take that down. Like, we got to use it for the LP cover. And it's cool it worked out. It's funny, obviously, like seeing yourself everywhere. On records, on shirts and whatnot, but it's sick. It's an awesome photo.
Do you have it on your wall?
No, I do not.
The fuck?
But my parents have the LP hanging above their fireplace.
That's sick. That's sick. Respect to your fam. Okay. So this month you're doing a little run with Mind Force, Simulacra and Scarab, Baltimore, Syracuse, Maine. You're doing a Midwest run in September. You're doing the West Coast in November with Angel Dust. What are you guys looking forward to the most in these months coming up?
All of it. Really?
Yeah. I can't wait to play these songs finally. Like,
yeah, and play all the new songs. That's going to be
all the new songs.
Definitely the funnest part.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the first time. I feel like it's the first time in a while we've done like a tour where we're not. I mean, like the Angel Dust tour we're like supporting, but like, it's been a while since we've just done our own like tour, you know. I mean, in the Midwest. We're going
to the headline one is gonna be sick.
Yeah, I'm excited for that.
Yeah, I counted 10 dates on the West Coast tour, and I noticed the city's missing. It's often referred to as America's finest city, and offers an array of attractions that make it a standout destination. First and foremost, it's a perfect climate. And that's one of its greatest assets. It's got mild and sunny weather year-round. Residents and visitors can enjoy outdoor activities from surfing on its renowned beaches like Pacific Beach and La Jolla Shores to hiking through the scenic trails of Balboa Park or Torrey Pines. The city's commitment to preserving its natural beauty is evident in its numerous parks, gardens, green spaces, providing an inviting environment for relaxation and recreation. And all the punks and hardcore kids, you know what's up. It's the home of Battalion of Saints, Amenity, Unbroken, Swing Kids, Rocket from the Crypt, Built to Last, Over My Dead Body, SBV, Crime Desire, Take Offense, Bayonet, Abstain, Mongrel, Disperse, Nowhere Safe, Standards Records, Reanimated Records, Heartwork Coffee Bar, and you know, Mekong Lao and Thai cuisine in the Convoy Asian Cultural District. Plus, it's the second home to yours truly, Zach Oxnard, and the best-dressed man on the pod, Daniel Sant. So let me ask you this, dudes. Why the fuck are you not playing San Diego?
That was incredible.
Yeah, that was awesome.
That was awesome.
Oh, man. We're always
like tagging along with someone else's tour, so the dates are already there. But Will, our drummer, was born in San Diego and rides hard for San Diego. Shout outs to Will. And I ride hard for San Diego. So the next time we're out there, probably next year, we're going to hit San Diego. Mark my words.
That's what's up. Yeah, I mean, if you're questioning... Yeah, if you're questioning if you should come here or not, like, I got to tell you, the city, it boasts a vibrant and diverse cultural scene. The city's home to thriving arts community with world-class museums like the Museum of Contemporary Art, Museum of Us, and the USS Midway Museum, offering a glimpse into history and art. So bands, don't skip San Diego. What the fuck is going on? Respect.
Yeah, what's going on?
Yeah. Roll through next time. I appreciate it. Although I did see you got a Thanksgiving off. You guys want to go get some food or what?
Honestly, might be down because I promise you, we always talk about wanting to play San Diego every time we go to California.
Yeah.
We do have a day off. It's Thanksgiving.
Yeah. So. Let's stay in touch and figure something out. Maybe we can find a little record store that'll do something. But
that'd be cool.
But yeah, dudes, when it's all said and done, what do you want the legacy of Restraining Order to be? Let's go to you, Patrick.
The legacy? Oh, just rock around the world, keep writing music, you know? I don't know. We're a simple band, you know? We just want to do, you know, what everyone's doing, but do it our way.
Yeah, respect. Keith, what about you? What do you want the legacy of Restraining Order to be?
Similarly, just like, I just want to play everywhere, man. Like I want to go to Japan so bad. That's like my big dream. So we want to be the band that played Japan.
Dude.
And rock the fuck out. Can I swear on here?
Of course.
Okay. Yeah. Rock the fuck out.
Yeah, dude. That's what I want to see. Someone bring Restraining Order to Japan. And
yes,
that's what's up. And then you guys can track
anywhere and anywhere around the world. If you want us, we'll come.
That's right.
Yep.
That's right. What's up, Guam? What's up, Guam? Let's bring them out.
Yeah, we'll go anywhere.
Yeah. Respect. Guys, straight up respect on second grade LP. It's hard to do for any bands that like aren't singing, right? Like once you take out the vocal melody, it's really hard to write LPs. And, you guys did it. It's like, it's super impressive. Both these LPs kick ass. They're notable. They're going down in history and hardcore as like two of the better LPs in the modern era. So much respect and let's stay in touch.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for having us.
To say.
For sure.
That was really nice. Yeah, thank you.
What's up, everyone? I got Chris and Vince from Dead Heat. Dudes, you went to Japan this year. You just got back from doing Texas with Mind Force and Heaven's Gate. You played the Rumble in Chicago. You smashed it at Sound of Fury. On July 28th, 2023, your new EP, Endless Torment, was released on Triple B Records. Chris, how happy are you with this, and how has the response been so far?
Dude, it's been amazing. Like, putting this EP out was... It needed to come for a long time, and I'm glad the response came with what it did, because everybody seemed like to be enjoying it. We've got so many good reviews. I've got praises from people I don't even like talk to anymore that just came out of the woodwork to tell me like, oh, this shit is good. I'm like, I don't know. It's been a good release for us.
Same question to you, Vince.
Yeah, I'm glad it's finally out. It's funny, you know, like the way we're putting out records is now, it's like, you know, sometimes, you know, you record it and it takes a year for it to come out, not for like, you know, any reason other than like, you know, like recently, like, you know, pressing plans have been backed up or whatever. But I'm glad the songs are finally out and people can hear them, because you know, they're like, you know, over, like, we started writing this right after the LP came out, right? And that's 2 years old now. So it's just nice to have something fresh out again.
Yeah.
Yeah, Chris, I saw you repost some dude on Twitter that was like, I never liked Dead Heat before, but I like this record. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I feel weird about like that condescending shit. Like, I was thinking like, oh, dude, cool. Like, congrats on like announcing you're not a poser anymore, you fucking bitch. You know what I mean? Like,
what's so European of them?
What's that?
It's so European of them to like a backward compliment.
Yeah, that's funny. Yeah. When Ratai was in Sweden in like whatever it was, 2009 or something, they're like, you guys put out the best LP of 2006, Coup d'etat. And like our second LP had just come out. I was like, yeah, well, what about We Are One? Dude, pretty good too, right? And they're like, that one is pretty good.
Not so much as the other.
Not so much. Yeah, I love it. But yeah, how do you feel about that? Like, why do they got to toss in a neg? Is that just like 2023, like internet shit? Like, no one can ever just be like, dude, I love the record. You know, they got to add some bullshit.
Someone's always got to add some bullshit. That's how it always is. I mean, for the most part, we got most people saying just good shit about it. But yeah, you'll get that other random comment, be like, oh, well, this is way better than what the other stuff was. I'm like, damn, like,
yeah, right.
Like other shit. Like, damn, I thought it was good.
I thought we wrote buffs. If not,
yeah. I saw a really funny review about the record. It wasn't like a necessarily negative review, but the dude was like, yeah, I'd like this with a beer in my hand, but this is like some AI generated thrash. I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah, I mean,
what the fuck does that mean?
I love the last LP. I think it was great. I think everything is like better than the last thing. You know what I mean?
Thank you.
But it's like, it's wonky to like kind of neg something like that. Anyway, Vince, this record though, it sounds thick as fuck, like thicker than anything else before. And you're an engineer. So how does this EP compare to the last LP, World at War?
I mean, I really love the way the last record sounds, the way Taylor did it. It was really nice to record with Armon finally. Like, I hadn't done anything with him, and you know, we've been in each other's world for like the last 20 years, right? And like, it was nice to do something with him. Arthur did the mix and the master from what bands? He's in a bunch of bands. He's like Summerlands. He did those records. So like, he really like gave it like a crazy like metal feel to it that I feel like our other records didn't have. Mm-hmm. You know, like, they're very much hardcore records. And that's not like a diss to Taylor, because he does what he does very well. But when Jaina was like, hey, we're going to do this with Arthur, he brought to it with a very specific sound, and he nailed it. He hit it out of the park. It would have been cool to hear like a mix from Armon as well, because he's also someone in that world who does very cool productions. And so maybe next time we'll do that too. But yeah, I'm very, very stoked on how it turned out sounding.
Yeah, the last one sounds great too. It's almost like, you know, you've been a crossover band the whole time, and this one might be just like a tick towards like straight up thrash world.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's what a lot of people were saying too on like interview stuff. It's like, oh, like this is a step away from like, you know, like punky crossover and more towards just thrash metal. And I didn't really realize that while we were writing it, because it felt like, you know, like the writing process remained the same, right? But then the finished result was a way thrashier record.
Yeah, but you also do some other stuff, like Chris, I love that Van Halen ass riff at the beginning of Tears of the Wolf. You know, and there's parts on that song that are like actually super emotional. Like, can you talk to me about both the music and the lyrics on that song?
Well, Jaina was more or less the music of it. He had the idea to like write almost like, I guess he was writing almost power ballad type shit, because that's kind of like how it sounded to me. And like, I don't know, obviously it has like that Iron Maiden like gallop type shit. So I was like, all right, this is going to be like that kind of style. So I don't know. And at that time, I had just lost my dog literally almost a year ago. to this date. And I wrote that song about him. So I was like, Tears of the Wolf, supposed to be like an Aussie type Bark at the Moon shit, you know. But yeah, I put a lot of shit into that song.
Yeah, so sick. Vince, how do you feel like having a song like that on the record? Like, it is a little bit of a risk, but it like fits so nicely on the record.
Oh yeah, when I remember when Janet he wrote the riff and he sent it to me like at like 3 a.m. like just a bit of him playing it, and I was like, okay, like, and it was just the main riff, and I was like, okay, I guess we'll work around this. The next time we did practice, we kind of fleshed it together, and it felt like I don't know if this is going to make it to this cut of a batch of songs for this record, but we just like committed to it, and it turned out really awesome. Yeah, it's funny because for that song, at least for this whole record, like the writing sessions where we're just us sending voice memos back and forth. So on my computer, it just was like new recording 2, new recording 3, and then like the date. And so I just gave everything like working titles. And so the working title for that song was Judas Priest.
I love it. Yeah. Speaking of riffs, like that final mosh on the Hard Reset is one of the hardest riffs of the year. Chris, when you heard that song, like that riff part, like the final sequence, how hard did your face melt the first time you heard that?
Damn. Well, when we were writing it, I'm like, I knew it had to have that pause. But it just came in when we actually recorded this time. Cause we recorded it for a comp before. And, I don't know, like this time around, it just like came up like better. It had like that reverse like effect, and everything just fucking, and I don't know. It's one of those types like of breakdowns that I'm going to mosh to my own band for it, you know?
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. Dudes, there have been a handful of different eras that Oxnard and the 805 have had one of the best hardcore scenes on the planet. And, you know, in my time in hardcore, what's been going on from 2019 to present seems super special. Vince, what do you think makes the scene so great right now? And what are some of the bands or the other things that are making it pop so hard?
Honestly, it's all the young people who are like, keep going to shows. I know there's been like kind of like a discourse online about like what TikTok has done to hardcore and all that bullshit. But like, honestly, it doesn't really matter if the kids keep coming to the shows. Like a local show with all local bands in like the greater 805 area, from anywhere from like, you know, Ventura to Simi. Like on a weekday, you can count on at least 100 kids to be there. And it's all because they keep coming back and they're starting to do their bands and they're starting to do it, you know, themselves. And I think that's what's making it really special. It's like, you know, the older people that are around, like, you know, like, I guess like me and Chris and Dead Heat, we're the oldest people in the scene right now by like a large margin. But, you know, like, I think we do a good job of like giving them their flowers and letting them have their space and let them do their thing. Because I think that's what really keeps a scene strong, is like young people doing it for themselves and not like just watching the old people do it.
Straight.
Yeah. And also this year, Tarina put out a 12-inch, right? So it's like, nice. You're not alone. Like when it comes to like national acts out of like your area, like now you got like a brother band.
Oh yeah. 100%.
Yeah.
And they're like only on the up. Like, there was this, I think it was the Hardlore pod where there, or as Jamie Josta on Hardlore, he was talking about like the Ultimate Warrior moment. I don't know if you're familiar with that pod or if you listen to that at all, but
yeah.
Like he explained the Ultimate Warrior moment as like, oh, like, I forget exactly what band they were on tour with, but they were like, oh, they put Hatebreed on above them to do that. And I feel like that's where Terrain's at right now. Like, we did a show on August 5th for 805 Day, and we weren't sure if we were going to be able to play it because there was like a bunch of stuff with like lineups. We weren't able to do it, so we had to announce later. And we were just like, dude, let's just let Terrena headline it. Like, they're the kings of Ox right now. Let's do this. Like, this is their ultimate warrior moment, you know?
Yeah.
And and they're like, they've got a bunch of stuff lined up, and I'm super excited for them.
Yeah.
Yeah. What is that? Why is there like no, like, I mean, there has been over the years and shit, but like for me, I've never like, you know, in my adult life, when I was young, I was dumb, right? But like, you know, post 25, right? Like, there doesn't seem to be like a jealousy, right? Like when Dead Heat like popped off and like started blowing up, like there was no like jealousy in my heart. I was like, thank God there's a fucking Nard band that can headline now. You know what I mean? Like 100%. And it seems the same way with, like, you know, Tarina starting to pop off and shit. Like, there's no, like, jealousy in your heart. Like, you root for, like, your people. What? Okay. Why is that? Like, and because it's so unique.
I think it's really, we're all just so proud of Oxnard that, like, anything that slaps Oxnard or 805 on it is like, yeah, I'm going to back it 100%. If it fucking sucks, I'm going to say this is the best shit in the world. I mean, luckily this stuff doesn't suck, but, you know, like, if it's Oxnard 805, it's, you know, it's the best thing in the world to me.
Straight up.
Yeah, I love it. Dude, the Dead Heat demo came out in 2016. So now you've been a band for a significant amount of time, and you put out LPs, you've played everywhere. And Vince, I want you to take this question first, because you joined the band a little later. If the band ended today, what do you think the legacy of Dead Heat would be?
Oh, wow. Shoot. That's a loaded question. I mean, hopefully legacy of Dead Heat, if we ended today, would be we were, I don't know, the Nard band of the mid to late 2010s.
You know, yeah, like, I think that's a great answer.
Yeah, like, because I'm thinking about it now, it's like, in terms of being active, like, Dehi was pretty active from the get-go. I mean, I didn't join until 2020, but, you know, like, a good amount of touring went on before I was in the band, you know, from like 2017 to 2020. And so I think that during that whole time, Dead Heat represented Nard the whole time.
Yeah, for sure. Chris, what do you want the legacy of Dead Heat to be when it's all said and done one day?
I mean, kind of that same thing. I want us just to have a name, how kind of like you guys did, you know what I mean? You guys put an imprint on me, like In Control. Like that, yeah. When growing up, I looked up to you guys as like one of the band, you know what I mean? Like, and that's how I felt about Dead Heat. Like, I just wanted to be the band of our time and doing it hard and as much as we could. And I feel like we've done that so far, and I would keep wanting to do that. I'm knocking on wood right now because I'm going to fucking do that shit, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I just feel like the legacy of Dead Heat is we were that band for that time. Yeah, exactly how Vince said, basically.
I think it's solidified, and like, you can't argue it. You know what I mean? Like, if you're going to block out like the years of the bands for the Nard, like, you got that for sure. So respect, dudes. Everyone, the latest LP, 12-inch, Endless Torment, it came out on July 28th, Triple B Records. It's on all the streaming platforms. Hit that play button, add them, whatever the fuck you do online, and order the LP from Triple B, handle business. You know you need that full Dead Heat collection in your collection. Dudes, I love you. I will see you this weekend in San Diego. I'll be in the pit, and that's what's up. Much respect.
Sheesh.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, thank you, brother.
What's up, everyone? This week on the pod, we are back and talking hardcore. Helping out, you know him, you love him. It is the best dressed man on the pod. It is Daniel Sant. What's up, Dan?
Sometimes I rhyme slow, sometimes I rhyme quick. I'm sweet and thicker than a Chico stick.
Also helping out, 6'2", what you gonna do? It is the mighty, mighty Posse Chris. What's up, Chris?
Close to as sweet, but not quite as sweet as a Chico stick.
What a do. All right. We kicked off this episode with interviews with Restraining Order and Dead Heat. Dan, have you gotten a chance to check either of those records out? And if so, what was your take? Quick takes.
Oh, my God. Both so good. The production on both, amazing. Locked in time, giving us that like almost like 60s groove before it explodes into stuff. It's hard. That's the Restraining Order. So good. Dead Heat, the production is mega. The songwriting is mega. But I do have a question for you both. Is this still hardcore, or is this just straight up metal? It sounds like it could body many of what would be considered the metal greats.
Yeah, it's interesting. So you haven't heard the interviews yet. I actually talked about that with Chris and Vince a bit, that maybe this record is the one where they jumped out of crossover and straight into thrash.
Yeah.
And yeah, they were kind of like receptive to that idea as well. And yeah, I mean, it's like, I don't know. There's always going to be like that line of crossover hardcore, because these are like hardcore dudes to the bone. I don't know if you ever shake it the whole way, but like, I don't know. This is just kind of a big sounding thrash EP. I don't know, thrash metal.
Full on thrash. The thing that I will say, like, the one thing that is innate is, yeah, like the hardcore DNA that's in you would look at what lots of metal bands do and think is cheesy. So that's the one anchor, I suppose. But yeah, it's, I mean, it could have come out in what, 1987 and like been at Castle Donington straight up.
Yeah, if they were like touring with Whiplash, you know, like it would make total sense. But you know what? I think those dudes had a little bit of hardcore in them too, right? Because one of those dudes went on and did Into Another. So, Chris, did you listen to either of these?
I did. To touch on what Dan was asking, or his rhetorical question. I mean, hardcore nowadays spans like such a wide range of sounds that anything could be hardcore theoretically, but it's more about like the approach that bands take and the ethic that they put behind it. I think where that question becomes interesting is like when a band gets so good at like whatever branch of hardcore they're doing or whatever that they appeal to, you know, widely to more thrash metal kids, or you not just hardcore kids that are like, yeah, I love thrash metal too, and I love hardcore, and I love this band. Like, you know, are there kids now that are going to be, you know, don't mess with hardcore at all, but they pick up this record and they're like, yo, this is my new favorite band, you know?
Yeah, like the Power Trip thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, or kind of in that Power Trip lane, that Scourge LP that came out earlier this year. That's kind of here, you know, it's almost just like a straight metal record. Oh, go ahead, Chris.
I was just going to add, yeah, but this rips, it's really good. And then, you know, their Straining Order also is awesome, and love to see that band just continue to thrive, particularly in a, you know, with a label and with a crowd that usually kind of caters to more mosh centric stuff. You know, seeing a band that is more roots hardcore and doing roots hardcore so well, you know, just thrive with that all as a backdrop is really cool to see.
Roots and
Roots and Boots. Yeah, that's right. And entering hardcore royalty with a second great LP.
Yeah.
Yeah, so good. Sure. Okay, let's jump into it. Before we talk some new music, I want to touch on a couple things. Oh, a couple weeks ago. So this is coming out on the 14th. The first weekend or the last weekend of last month, Indecision 30, Sound of Fury, all that. Andy Diehard broke down Sound of Fury on the Patreon. So everyone smash that Patreon button and check out his review. He said it was so awesome, especially like the sequencing of the bands, like it going kind of from like a brute band to like a chill band back to a brute band, you know, like it was just like the listening experience was nicely cultivated for the ear of the person that is like there for a long ass event. So a shout out, another successful year of Sound of Fury. Also last weekend, This Is Hardcore happened. Shout out Joe Hardcore and shout out Bob Wilson and everyone that puts that on. Looked like he knocked it out of the park again. So that's what's up. But we got to talk on the main feed. Our main man, Dan Sant, put on those hardcore singer boots again and got out on the stage. And Dan, you killed it. How did it feel to be out there?
It was so I can be honest with my 185 brethren and all the listeners, because we love them. I was so nervous leading up to it, and it was weird. As soon as we got on stage, like when we were just getting ready to go and I grabbed the mic and turned around, it was like, oh shit, this feels right again. I don't know. It was really weird to say, but we had a blast as a band. Like, we only practiced twice because we all live in different areas. And, but we practiced hard for those two times. And then Rob and Tommy did a practice together. And I feel like it went really well. And it just was so gratifying to see that some people still care, and it was just a really great time.
Hell yeah. And Chris, Change played in the locker room so good.
We did.
Knocked out of the park.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. It was awesome. It was, you know, we got a better response than I was anticipating, and you know, there are a lot more people in there than I thought there would be, and it was just, I don't know, it was cool, good energy, a lot of fun, and yeah, felt good.
It was really good, and the, like, your set was sick. Your stomps were unbelievable, Chris. like the bass cab was about to fly off the stage with every stomp. And then Zach's contribution to the fest was he got a ram with like the best blast of all time. Not the best blast. It's not a blast at a ram, but a ram was talking about human suffering and that there's too much in this world, which is absolutely true. But Aram said, "This is the most human suffering there's ever been in the world." And then Zach goes, "Shout out to the Great Plague." It was so funny.
Yeah, well, respect. You know, San Diego knows how to heckle. So yeah. I got to represent my home away from
what is
my beautiful home, Oxnard, California. Yeah, and
I feel like we got off the hook a little bit because at least five of the San Diego crowd had to go halfway through our set to go set up their gear.
That's true. And we should say that I showed up on time to that show because I wanted to catch the first band, Bayonet, and they are currently on tour on the East Coast. So this episode is airing on August 14th. Tonight they play Pittsburgh. So shout out to the Illiterates, shout out to Speed Plans, and shout out to Jimmy from Annihilation Time. Tomorrow, August 15th, they play Columbus, Ohio. On August 16th, they play Louisville, Kentucky. Shout out to Chris's boys, Inclination. And see, on 8/17, August 17th, they play Bloomington, Indiana. I think that might be where the Demo Listen boys are at. So shout out to them. Shout out to Colossal Man. And then on the 18th of August, they're wrapping it up in Chicago, Illinois. So everyone, go out and catch Bayonet and Entry. If you are close to those locations, check out their social medias and stuff, and we'll do a post. So handle business on the second half of their tour. If you already saw them, respect for supporting the boys from San Diego, and that's what's up. Also, Charman out of the 805, one of my favorite bands of that region, they put out a new single called ZT60, and it's up on all the streaming platforms. It's one of the best songs they've done, so check that out too. Maybe I'll toss it on the playlist.
Yeah.
Killer track.
What I will say about Bayonet is how many people like from like East Coast friends and stuff that checked them out to kick off the Saturday were just so blown away by their set, and their new songs are so sick. So check out their new demo too.
Yeah. Yeah. They got a new tape that's out for the tour, I believe. And then it is also, it's definitely on Bandcamp right now, and it might be on streaming.
It is
on Spotify. All right, sick. Handle business, not too cool for Spotify. I love to see it. All right, dudes, let's jump right in. One of my favorite LPs of last year was the band Split System out of Melbourne, Australia. They put out an LP called Volume 1. Good God, man, I loved it so much. Earlier this year, they put out a 7-inch, and it broke my heart because I thought it was pretty mid, to be honest with you, and that hurts to say it. I don't like to slag anything on the air because we pretty much only talk about things that at least one of us loves and rides for. But now they came back and redeemed themselves. This single, Alone Again, it's out on digital. It's on the playlist. Everyone, 185milesouth.com. Click that playlist at the top of the page and check out the songs we're talking about. Also on Spotify, find 185 Miles South, and it's on there. But good God, man, this single is like in the top three Split System songs. Dan, did you check this out, and what do you think about it?
Oh my God, I love it. I love it. It's like, this song is like a more punk Aussie Strokes almost. It like has that kind of lackadaisical, laissez-faire like way of playing, and it's just so good. And then the way that the singer doesn't sing but doesn't yell, he does like aggressive speaking vocals, like it's just so good. It just fits perfectly. It's it's a really banging song. Like, I cannot wait to hear more from these sessions, because this thing rips.
Yeah, I hope it's like part of a bigger session. It might just be that they wrote like a fucking insane song. They're like, we got to lay this down.
Yeah,
you know, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. This is the first time though the singer's really shown that range, like that you're talking about, like kind of going back and forth between like a talk singing and kind of a pushing it.
Yeah,
and it really works. It really works. I loved his voice on all the previous stuff, but like him showing this range, it kind of takes it to the next level. And the thing that makes this band special to me is like those little guitar hooks. Not only is like, you know, hooks for the song, but also like the guitar leads. And this song has both, you know? So it's like, good God, man. One of my favorite songs of the year. Chris, what do you think about this?
Yeah, I think you guys both said a lot of things I was going to say, but you know, more single coil punk greatness from this band. That opening, guitar hook is so cool and so memorable. And then, you know, the other thing that stood out to me is what you guys both said, you know, how the singing's kind of like a loud talking. And then the choruses, like the vocals really put some oomph behind it and it makes it sound super dynamic. And I love how it kind of like transitions between those two things. Lyrics are kind of cool too. Low key kind of PMA, about, facing, troubling times and trying to keep a positive mental attitude, not in those words exactly, but yeah, they're cool. And then the solo towards the end, I don't think you guys touched on this, is so tasteful, like goes some places, but it never like wanks away. And it's really cool.
Yeah. 100%. Also, this is like a sick thing of like things coming full circle, kind of small world punk and hardcore, you know? Because this band is on Legless out of Australia, and they just announced a week or so ago they're putting out the Stepmothers LP, which is Graham Kleiss's band. We know him from Fields of Fire and also Annihilation Time. So sick. He's been living in Australia for a while, and now they're putting out his band's LP. So it all comes full circle. Melbourne on top. What's up? I love it. Okay. Yep. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, like Chris mentioned, Carry On, but remember when he played bass in Carry On with a full arm cast?
Jeez.
That was the Graham.
Yeah, shout out Graham. And played drums for the entire In Control 2001 tour.
Respect. So,
yeah, what's up? Okay, let's jump in to the next thing. This is a band called Subliminal Excess out of Chicago, Illinois. The EP is called Witness. It is on digital now. A 7-inch is coming out on 11 PM Records. And before we get into it, just want to shout out 11 PM Records. They've put out so much stuff this year and it like all hits. So like, this is one of the best hardcore labels going right now. Other things that came out this year that I enjoyed was that Grand Scheme record. I think it's going to be a 7-inch too. And also that Lethal record. I believe it's going to be a 7-inch too. So we're going to have to get in an order there and handle business, because this label is not missing for 2023. Chris, did you listen to this? What do you think about it?
Yeah, I did. It's really cool. Another good Chicago band. It's a little bit on the crossover tip, but not too far into that lane, I don't think. Like, you know, maybe just some thrash sensitivities, but like, maybe in the same way that like a band like Rival Mob kind of flirts with it, but leans more into grooves at times. It's cool. Perfect length, 4 songs, comes in, punches you in the face, and then is done in you know, just over 5 minutes. Yeah, this is really cool. I'm looking forward to seeing what comes next from this band. And the other thing I'll say, the cover art is so sick. Like, I don't know, put this in your spreadsheet for best cover art of the year, because it's really cool. It's just a drawing of a broken mirror, and in that mirror, like a bunch of reflections of, you know, eyes that are witnessing, because the record is called Witness. It's just really cool looking. It kind of like spiderweb, similar to the Sick of It All record that we're going to talk about a little bit later.
Yeah, this thing rips. I don't get any crossover off it, but like maybe it's there a little bit in vibe. right? Like a lot of stuff sometimes has like a, you know, like a power violence vibe without actually playing power violence.
Totally. You know? Like it's, you know, I hesitate to even say that because it's definitely not crossover, but it's kind of like, I don't know. There's some sensitivities there that I feel like, you know, maybe it's drawing from like some Cro-Mag, you know, some second record Cro-Mags or something.
Yeah, I mean, there's a meanness to it, and like, it's just straightforward, no melody, right? It's just like sub 2 minute straightforward songs of roots hardcore, three fast ones, one mid-tempo banger, zero bullshit, in and out. I think it rips, you know, like I love that the backbone is three fast songs, you know, and yeah, I dig this a lot. Dan, what did you think?
Yeah, I think they sound at times like at times of their songs, like filthy, grimy youth crew, like occasionally like some of the breaks, you know, it's like really grimy and dirty though. So it's not clean and it's not in Air Max ones and pos tops. It's like just kind of grimy, but same kind of musical sensibility. Where I think Chris is maybe picking up on a little bit of like what he might like is a nod towards crossover is occasionally the guitar lead will go a little in that route. But for the most part, it's just like grimy NYHC. And it sounds hard. And like you said, no bullshit. This, the vocals are delivered with no bullshit. They're like scratchy and throaty, but very audible. Yeah, it's a fucking killer EP. Respect.
Yeah, I would say that like, you know, the lead thing can be as much D beat as it is crossover though too. Right. Yeah, so they could be calling from one or the other.
It could also be classic 1989, like CBGB, NYHC too, you know?
True. Yeah, whatever it is, it has like a certain level of grime on it. Like it's grimy roots hardcore, which makes it sick. Plus like it's so palatable with like three fast ones, one mid-tempo, in and out, just done. Zero bullshit, like we said. And yeah, so everyone check it out on the playlist. Handle business. Let's get into the next one. We're going to talk Joy out of Sydney, Australia, acronym for Jokes on You. Put out a 7-inch called Fantasy. It is a split release. Last Ride Records and New Ethic Records. Another banger. This is great modern hardcore. What do you think, Dan?
This is so fucking good. Like, I really love this. The bass sounds amazing. The recording is fantastic. The vocals, incredible. I had not heard of this band before this was put together for us to listen to. And let me tell you, I'm really glad. What I love about this band is they're playing with being a little bit more, I would say a more punk version of No Warning to an extent. The way some, like, the music will come to a close and then one guitar will lead off reminds me very much of Ill Blood sounding riffage. And if you know me, that's high praise indeed, because I love that LP. What I really love about it is the vocalist's approach is really great because it is hardcore punk to the core. It is bouncing over the songs. It's, you know, delivering, and it is perfectly like recorded vocals on top of perfectly recorded music. What I will say is there's so much groove and bounce to this, but at the same time, it can rip when it wants to. Like it's the kind of hardcore I love. I either love stuff that is extremely boot heavy, or I really like stuff that's very outbursty, No Warning, like giving a lot of bounce, giving a lot of groove, but also being extremely aggressive. And this is right in that lane for me.
Yeah, I pick up a lot of that. Like, I think it's modern hardcore kind of in like the Spy Gel lane, but there is like a lot of flourishes of like that 89 Where the Wild Things Are, New York hardcore, you know, which I think you're calling out with like the Outburst mention, you know? So it's a sick take on that. And then also like another little thing they do that makes them stand out is they got some Venice ass like guitar shit on here, you know, which is such a nice touch for like this, you know, this modern hardcore. It does fall into like a lot of what bands are doing these days, right? You have like those big stompy parts, you know, which are getting a little long in the tooth for me now. Like, but you know, there's a lot of flourishes of cool shit, like those Venice ass guitar leads. And yeah, I love the vocals. I think they're at their best, like, when the singer like doesn't push it all the way, like they're, the way they're going kind of right before the breakdown on Cause I Gotta, like the voice sounds so sick there. Cause it's like, it's a little nicer sounding. So it juxtaposes nicely against like a real mean sounding band. And Dan, you called out like the tones, bass tone's great. I love the snare tone too. Yeah. Maybe it could be a tick higher for me, but fuck, sick. Chris, what do you think?
Yeah, I noticed the bass tone too. Like the way that it comes in with that bass line and just the bass, like it stands out and you're like, whoa, that's a sick tone. And then I think I like where you're bouncing around as far as like the influences, because those totally make a lot of sense. I heard a little bit of a Locking Out vibe, kind of.
Yeah.
Which certainly, you know, obviously they're all the Locking Out bands, like the Genesis is like Where the Wild Things Are. But what I think this does that a lot of the Locking Out bands kind of missed on is the hard parts are a lot meaner. And like the fast parts are a lot more pissed off. And so, yeah, I could see it being somewhere between like that kind of stuff and like a No Warning. And then I like, Zach, what you said about the Venice ass guitar parts, cause those stood out to me and I didn't really know how to define that. So I like that terminology. I'm going to use it too. I think the split that I would be hyped to see with this band, not because they necessarily sound the same, but I think a split between Joy and Buggin would be sick, because I feel like both of these are bands that bring a lot of that like Locking Out style bounce, but they take it in their own directions, and they're both taking it in kind of different directions from each other, and so like they're interesting branches maybe off of the Where the Wild Things Are tree. So I think it would be a good mix. A couple things on this band. You know, when I hear a new band and I don't really know much about them, it's always kind of fun to dig in, see if you know anybody that like is familiar with them and ask some friends. So I found a good old friend from Australia, Alan Reed, from the Australia band Frame, which if you haven't heard, check them out. But I noticed that Alan was following them on Instagram. So I hit up Alan and asked to share some, you know, share some insights. Alan shared way too much information, but was super helpful. But like a few things that I'll pull out from Alan, this band that's made up of a bunch of hardcore kids who have been doing a ton for the hardcore scene down there for years, like well over a decade. Some who have been in lots of bands, some who are doing, you know, their first band or like their first band on a new instrument. Some of those bands include Ill Brigade, Vigilante, Pure Instinct, which I haven't heard but need to check out because Alan said it's a heavy 97 Youth Crew style. So I will definitely be checking out Pure Instinct.
They share members too.
Yeah.
With this band.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. These are bands that these bands were in previously. Rule on You, Quick Fix. Alan also mentioned that Brooke, the bass player, I believe, has a zine style Instagram account called Future Waves. So throw them a follow. And I understand Kelso from this band is a great vegan chef baker in Sydney. So Kelso will be in touch when change comes down under. I don't know. I always find it interesting to get a bit of a feel for like the people that are behind some of these awesome bands that we're talking about. Cause you can only pull so much from the sound, and you know, either sounds awesome or it sounds not awesome. And this sounds awesome. The 7-inch is dope. And it's cool to hear that like it's made by people that ride so hard for the scene. They're active participants and, you know, by all accounts, good people doing good music. So respect.
Yeah. And someone's got to create like the railroad from, you know, Australia to America with like all these records coming out, like Sorry State and Total Punk get, some of that legless stuff sometimes, but like, yeah, that's the Street Sweeper. I think I had to order that from Australia. And so that's a bummer paying the shipping on that. Right. Like I'm trying to not buy 7-inches anymore. And then I'm spending $25 on a 7-inch, but, yeah, all this stuff, I want it. So it'd be sick if some distro in America would get it all. Okay, let's go on to the band Mess out of Guadalajara, Mexico. Put out an LP called Under Attack. Came out on, I apologize if I pronounce this wrong, Mendeku Discac out of the Basque Country. And Dan, you want to talk this? What do you think about their debut LP here?
Well, I'm moving to Guadalajara because I need to see this band once a month at least. So, gone fishing. I love it. I really do love it. There is one critique, though, and I'll get into what it sounds like and everything in a second. My one critique is just edit. Take three songs off this and do any... because all the songs are great. But pull 3 to 4 songs off of this in this session, make it a shorter LP, and then have a 7-inch that you grace us with in December. That would be my, like, ideal move for it. That being said, this thing, production-wise, influence on the sleeves-wise, and the way that they go about writing songs is incredible, tasteful to the max. There are guitar leads and guitar hooks. Zach calls them hooks, which they're way more hooks than they are leads, a lot of these things, but they're extremely channeling Blitz to the max, as well as a few other, you know, classic Oi bands. But specifically, I think the way the production sounds, I think the way that the band frames the way they sound, Blitz is a very heavy influence. I'm sure when bands get told, you know, when someone listens to something and says, oh, I can hear this in it, that maybe the people in the band are like, yeah, but it's not, that's not it, or that's not all of it. And it isn't. I mean, there is, Mess sounds like Mess as well. Don't get me wrong. But there's even like the way that this sounds is very complementary to a lot of the French Oi that we love as well, especially on choruses. Like the verses are, I would say, really, you know, can sound like Blitz and the negative space of the vocal delivery. But when it comes to the chorus and there's like a lot more of the like group vocals and things like that, it can sound a lot more punk than Blitz did at times, and then it channels like some of the French Oi that we like so much, or it's complementary to it, not necessarily channeling it. But the intro is Stay Strong and it's instrumental, and I love it so much. I almost love it so much that I'm like, God, what if they sang over this? But then at the same time, I'm like, oh, but I love the way it sounds, the way it is. Then it goes into Stubborn Boys, which is just such a great song. Leave Me Alone, that song is so good. But my hit of the LP is the final track, In the City, which is like a mid-tempo mega banger. That song is so good. I think I've listened to it like 300 times since this LP came out. So it's become one of those things, like when you've listened to anything on your Spotify and it auto cues a song that it knows you love, it's been serving that song up so much lately. The song Behind the Cross also, I think that's where they really thrive. It, for me, is when they are doing slightly more of the melodic and mid-tempo sides than rather than the shouty, like, punker ones. But those ones are equally fantastic, like Revenge and Last Call. But I really love this. I think, you know, I think we started talking about this band when that Street Boy EP was released, and it was like my song of the year like 3 years ago. And I've been checking in with them ever since, and they never disappoint. They just go from strength to strength, and I really fucking love this. What do you guys think?
I love the first song so much. And you're right, Dan. It's like how, you know, you almost think it's a crime that you're not singing over it, but then you got to remember it's like Don't Forget the Struggle, Don't Forget the Streets, right? Like, yeah. Intro Bust, right? Like, that song is so good, and you're like, fuck, if they made that a real song, it would have been one of the greatest songs ever. But then you got to remember, it is one of the greatest songs ever without the singing, and you don't want to fuck it up. Because sure. what if Rabies is like, fuck it, I'm going to write a song about eating a hot dog. You know what I mean? And then you ruin the whole fucking song. So, I don't know. This record starts out with that. It's such a vibe. We talked to the what is it? Camera Silence? I don't know. I can never pronounce the French shit.
Yeah, Camera Silence. Yeah,
that. And, like, it gives me the vibe of, like, that Criminal 1 at 2, you know, that has, like, the sickest sax solo of all time. But this is all just, like, little guitar lead shit. I love it. I'm with Dan, though. All the songs he called out were on side B. I do think this LP is actually backloaded. My favorite song is probably Burnham, along with what Dan called out, In the City. Those are both side B. He also called out Behind the Cross, another good song. Yeah, the little guitar hooks are great. Also, the drumming, the way it's recorded and the way it's played, is really like just the backbone of this band. It's so stiff wrist. So sick that just like sets a vibe for this. Like, I'm screaming it from the mountaintops. The way this drummer plays and the way the drums are recorded just make me want to listen to this straight up. I love the vibe of it. Yeah, it is channeling Blitz. We've talked that plenty of times before. It doesn't have the big choruses. The hooks are in the guitar leads. So maybe it's landing a little more attack than it is Blitz. And yeah, that's really all I got. I echo Dan as well on maybe just a tad long, but also, like, you know, a lot of OLPs were long, and like, there's something to be said for like wanting to create a piece of art that matches like your favorite art of all time. Right. So like, even though like, you know, our 2023 year is totally spoiled and we just want chunks of music in like four song blocks. You know, as a band that's put out like multiple EPs and shit, they probably wanted to lay down a great LP, you know, yeah. And they wrote a lot of things.
Yeah. And go value ahead. For money, you know?
Yeah.
They give you value for money.
Right. That too. Although I would just say, like, I think that this record is, it's a bunch of eights. Like, I don't know if it has like the 10, like the big, big hit. So it's just like a super solid record. All the way through, bangs all the way through. I love listening to it, but I don't know if it has that song that like pushes it like to the 10, you know, like that big hit.
The intro is a 9.5, Behind the Cross is a 9, and In the City is a 9.5. I'm going to say that.
There you go. Yeah. And I think Burnham has the closest thing to like a big chorus.
Yeah.
So yeah. Chris, what do you think about this?
Yeah, I really like it a lot too. Same thing about the opening track, Stay Strong, that you all called out. I think for me, when I go into a much anticipated LP and there's a, you know, long intro with no vocals, more often than not, I'm like, I don't know. I want the vocals to come in sooner, but I found myself for this thinking like that it was perfect, you know? And it sounds like you guys are there too. Like, it's such a strong intro. It's, don't know, it's really cool. It's almost pretty, which is a funny thing to say about punk rock at any time, but it's almost pretty. You guys touched a lot on a lot of the melody stuff and made references to some of the melodic stuff from France that we've been talking about. I think for me, what I think the difference is between this band and a lot of the melodic stuff from France is that the French stuff is really dark and depressing a lot of times and heavy sounding in a good way. And to me, I got more like uplifting vibes from this, like a little bit more triumphant. But it's all vibes. And Zach, what you called about the choruses, I don't remember exactly what you said, but like the choruses being led by the guitar leads versus like the vocals. I think that's really astute because, you know, when I listen to this, it's, I don't know. It's more of like something I want to put on and have be the soundtrack to something I'm doing versus like, yo, I'm going to go put this on. I'm going to sing along and I'm going to go, you know, circle pit with the homies. Like, I almost want to just put this on and like do something, you know, go for a walk, go for a bike ride, like clean the house or whatever. Cause it's just, I don't know. It's all vibes. I guess that's the best way I could say it, but it's really cool. It will be up there probably amongst my favorite Oi records of the year. That Enforcers record, the recording is just so freaking good. Like it's perfect modern day production for punk, that it's going to be tough to unseat that one. But this one, I feel like the production for this one is a little bit more in the, like a more of a modern day Criminal Damage where it's really channeling those, nostalgic vibes and it does it really well. But yeah, I don't know. I like this a lot and I'm really psyched to listen to it some more and throw it on and do stuff.
That's a great name check, Chris. Like it is kind of like a modern Criminal Damage in that way, in both the recording and the way that it's like a banging vibe, but not necessarily like super, super catchy. Yeah, I love it. And Oi is like kind of popping, dude, which is sick, right? Like even like some of that adjacent shit, like the Homefront LP out of Canada. And then of course all the Froy shit that we love. And of course the Chisel, right? Like this shit is popping right now. So much good stuff coming out in so many different lanes of a genre that is like always had kind of a narrow lane. So it's sick. I'm loving this shit right now. And Ness is one of the best that's doing it. So shout out.
Side A versus Side B.
All right, we're going to do Side A versus Side B on one of the greatest hardcore LPs of all time. You know it's Blood, Sweat, and No Tears by Sick of It All. Came out in 1989 on In Effect Records. Dan, this is one of your favorite records of all time, correct?
Yeah. And you know what's funny? In the build-up to this, listening to it again with a critical ear of, like, you know, giving points to both sides, just realized, like, this still is not given enough props. And it is given a ton of props, but listeners, throw this on. Go for a ride with this record again. It is so good. And then how do you pick a side? Like, you know, if you're going like the heavyweight champion of side A versus the heavyweight champion of side B, you know, you've got Injustice System versus Clobbering Time, Pay the Price. So you've got the Blood and the Sweat versus G.I. Joe Head Stomp or My Life. You've got No Labels versus, like, if you want to go like some of the like more deep cutter songs on it, you got No Labels versus like Breeders of Hate. Fucking hell, how good is Breeders of Hate? Give Respect, Push Too Far, Friends Like You. It's so crazy to have to pick a side of this because it's just one giant, beautiful monster. But I think I got to go side A. I mean, it's got KRS on it just to tip the scales.
Yeah, you know, building up to this, like I originally wanted to do the 7-inch. You guys want to do the LP. And part of the reason why I want to do the 7-inch is just like listening to it. You know, I think we all want like there to be a Youth Crew revival again. And I don't know if it's ever going to happen. So it's like I would just settle for like a Sick of It All 7-inch band revival. Yeah. Because there's so many bands like doing like even straightforward roots hardcore. Like we talked about like Subliminal Excess today, which is like a really good 4-song EP. But like this stuff is so catchy. And like to have like mean sounding songs, but also like just writing these catchy hooks vocally, it's like out of this world. And, you know, there was like that whole era of the Locking Out shit where they're like looking at like a very small resource of influences. And like, I kind of just wish there was like a couple bands right now that would just listen to like the Sick of It All 7-inch and then this like exclusively for a month and just fucking copy it, dude.
Yeah.
You know, like you would be my favorite band. Like there's so much good about this. Again, like the meanness of the songs with like the catchiness of the vocals, but also like just like lyrically, like fucking life lessons, right? Like what do you get out of hardcore? What makes hardcore special? You know, and a lot of the interviews like around this time, you know, they're talking about the differences between hardcore and heavy metal. And it's like, well, hardcore is like based in reality, right? Like the lyrics are reality. And like go into a song like Give Respect. Like that's a perfect ass song, right? Like you're getting a life lesson right there. You know, and it might be from like a 23-year-old, but shit, you might be 15 when you're like you're reading it, you know, and it's like, oh, like that's how you act right, you know. And there's a lot of there's like a lot of not acting right, you know. And I'm not trying to old man that, but like fucking A. Like I love this shit. I love this shit so much, you know. And these are like we got life lessons out of hardcore records and out of hardcore bands and out of going to hardcore shows, right? Anyway, to the record, I rated every single song, so maybe we should have Ben on here to duel me. There's so many tens on this. I did break out Clobbering Time and Pay the Price. I think Pay the Price is one of, first of all, this whole record bangs. The only reason why I'm being critical of some of these songs is because like the record is pretty long, you know? So like there are some sevens and like realistically, if you pulled off all the sevens off this record and put them on a 7-inch, like it might be one of the greatest hardcore 7-inches ever still, yeah, you know what I mean?
Like, it's only it's only a 7 against the strength of the 10. It's not right. A 7 against any other band.
That's right. It's like it's rated on a curve of like the best hardcore ever. So like that's brutal, right? Like so I gave Pay the Price a 7. I gave Breeders of Hate a 7.
What?
I gave I gave Bullshit Justice an 8. I gave Pete's Sake a 9. I gave Stick Together a 7. I gave My Revenge an 8. I gave No Labels a 9. I gave Disillusion a 6. I gave The Deal a 7. And everything else is a 10. So Blood and the Sweat, 10. Clobbering Time, 10. Give Respect, 10. Push Too Far, Friends Like You, 10, 10. Rat Pack, 10. G.I. Joe Head Stomp, Alone, My Life, My World Full of Hate, 10, 10, 10, 10. Yeah. Right? And then wrapping it up in Justice System with a 10. So averaging it out, side A gets an 8.9 if I'm putting all my numbers together. And side B gets an 8.89. So technically side A should win, you know, by what's that 1/100th of a point.
Yeah,
but like, but that run of G.I. Joe Head Stomp, Alone, My Life, World Full of Hate, 10, 10, 10, 10. Fuck it. I'm side B, dude. Cause those four songs starting out side B plus ending on Injustice System. Good God, man. It's just unbeatable. So I'm side B. Chris, we're tied. Right. What's your?
Well, also the 8.9. It was released in 89, fresh for 89. So you've got the 8.9 in your review, like in your average.
That's right. And realistically, if we rounded up and didn't go from the 100th and went to the 10th, they're both 8.9s.
Yeah. So,
you know, Chris, what's your take?
I love that you did math and then you said, fuck math. I'm going with my heart. Cause that's hardcore. That's what hardcore is.
So
also, when you said, life lessons from a 23-year-old, I feel like you neglected to say life lessons from a 23-year-old with a rat tail
and a mustache.
Respect. Yeah. One of the greatest records of all time. You know, I once came across a zine that Ron Gardapi did, you know, back in the late 80s. I don't remember the name of it because he did a bunch of different ones with different names. But I remember thumbing through it and finding a review. And I don't remember if it was for this record or the 7-inch, but I'm still going to tell the story because it's still applicable. And I think the same thing applies between both of these. But I remember reading that review and just thinking, what would it be like to be alive in, you know, 1989 or 1987, whenever, you know, you first heard this for the first time and it was new, you know, and yeah. This came out of the ether of hardcore. And thinking about the other, I mean, there have been some other greats, plenty of them. But to hear this kind of just sonic tank, you know, like I think in the review, Ron compared it to like sounding like just getting pulverized by a tank or something like that. And I don't know, for some reason that review that Ron wrote, that just really stuck with me, kind of like put me in that time of place of like, wow, imagine hearing Sick of It All for the first time, or, you know, for the first time after that 7-inch and I don't know, being there and experiencing that. Cause I remember what it was like the first time I heard this record and you know, that was pretty special as well. But, I don't know, I digress, but yeah, this record is great. And I love what you guys both said about the sevens not actually being real sevens. Like, we're grading on a curve here based on the other songs. And so like the actual perfection of some of the other songs makes the near perfection kind of pale in comparison. I do think side A has a little bit more heat. I didn't agree with some of Zach's math. Although I wasn't like wildly off on any of them. I think that I just think side A has more tens for me personally. Like when you measure Clobbering Time, side A against like G.I. Joe Head Stomp, side B, both awesome songs. But like, if you ask me, Clobbering Time is the superior intro. Speaking of Ron Gardapi, The Deal, this is the inferior one of the few places you could say Sick of It All is inferior to anyone. But this, I think Zach gave it like a 6 or 7. The Deal, inferior to Brotherhood, so I'm gonna knock that one down just a tad. But typically when I look at this, and there's songs like Injustice System that are not only tens but like such established tens that like the entire like axis of the hardcore world would just be different without the existence of Injustice System. Typically when a song is that good, it's hard to pick against that side of the record, but I'm going to do it. I'm going to go side A, just cause it has so much heat, like Clobbering Time, Give Respect. I echo Dan's, disgust when Zach gave, Breeders of Hate a non-10 grade. Push Too Far, Friends Like You. And then, you know, if we're being real, we're talking about superior and inferior songs. The superior version of Injustice System is the live version from the Lost and Found live record. So I'm going to go side A.
I love it. And just for the record, I have side A with 6 tens and side B with 5 tens. So don't get it twisted.
Fuck math.
Yep, that's right. But hell yeah, side A, and really no losers on this. This is one of the greatest LPs of all time. So everyone, Check out There Will Be Selections on the playlist. But y'all know these by heart. Come on.
Can I also add, like, Sick of It All from a legacy perspective? You know, I don't want to be disrespectful when I say this. Like, I don't know when the last Sick of It All record that I've listened to and loved actually was, you know, but I don't think, like, they've never strayed from being a hardcore band in their entire existence. You know, they've dabbled in some, influences that may have pushed it in like an Oi direction or, you know, whatever, but like so many band, like every band in the history of hardcore basically that has been around that long tried other greener pastures, you know, whether it had been more street punk or more metal or whatever. And like Sick of It All never stopped being a hardcore band. Every record is a hardcore record, and there's something to be said for that. So ultimate respect to them.
Can I yeah. just say that the way The Blood and the Sweat comes in, it's fucking hell hard. That's all I need to say. I didn't get that in earlier.
I just wanted to elaborate on what Chris is saying. It's ironic too, because like of you saying that, like that they were always hardcore, never strayed, because like there was a time that they were like the lightning rod for like the major label thing. Right. Mm-hmm. So they sure. took some heat for it back then, but they're still hardcore, and I've seen them in small rooms a couple times mm-hmm. in the last 5 years. So
I think what you touched on. I was just going to say, I think what you touched on there with them being the lightning rod around when like Scratch the Surface came out, I think that is, they achieved what we talked about with Dead Heat earlier, is like that record was so undeniable that the metalheads loved it, you know?
For sure. For sure. All right, everyone, check out the record.
I'm taking it back to the old school because I'm an old fool.
I'm taking it back to the old school because I'm an old fool.
Yo, what's up, motherfuckers? Old school.
Old school spotlight.
All right, we're going to go old school. We're going to talk the Coro, self-titled 7-inch, band out of Knoxville, Tennessee. Originally, they self-released the 7-inch in 1983, but it did get a recent repress on Sorry State Records. And Sorry State got it up on digital. So shout out big time. That rules. I love when this old school stuff gets released on digital, because so much stuff, you know, in this modern era can get lost to history. Of course, like, you know, a lot of the real ones are going to like never let shit get forgotten. But like, you know, your small pockets of friends isn't like the masses out there that need to be able to access this, right? Some dude clicking around on Spotify and comes across like the Coro 7-inch or the CIA 7-inch or Rosemary's Baby, some shit like that. The Clip Boys, you know, like you don't want that stuff getting lost to history. And it's so sick that Sorry State was able to pull this off and get this up on streaming. So much love, and let's dig into it. Dan, how familiar were you with this and what did you think about it?
Not at all. I was not familiar with it until this. And the main takeaway I got from it is this is just blazing fast hardcore punk that has no interest in pulling in melody. They are going for speed and they are going for aggression. And it later in, as the record progresses, you get a little bit of melody in there. But my main takeaway from it was, I'm searching for the hooks now that my melody loving brain is searching for, but I'm just like, this is blazing fast, like in a very old school manner, you know? I would say that's my main takeaway from it, is just how fast this is and how punk it sounds.
Well, we did 83 a couple weeks ago, right? Yep. And this is 1983. So thinking about it in that context, like there's so much DC shit that comes out in 81, right? And then 82 is like the Negative Approach 7-inch. 83, like a bunch of hardcore 7-inches come out, right? And like this is like right in the lexicon. I think it's just a tier below like the biggest shit, like the Antidote, the Abuse, the Poison Idea, the Minor Threat, like that stuff. I'd put it like the same tier as like the DeCruzin 7-inch or the 7 Seconds 7 inches or Legless Bowl or like the Urban Waste 7-inch. And I'd put it like a tier above like some other like what I would consider still great US hardcore, like that White Cross 7-inch, Rosemary's Babies, Clip Boys, stuff like that. So it's sandwiched in there. I do think it's classic because it's so early and just so canon of like 8 blazing songs. And like the recording is so perfect. Like you can hear everything. The tones are perfect. The singing is great. Like the way that he just dances over these fast parts. It's like, you know, it's the same year as Poison Idea. And like, sometimes it's similar in the way like the, these two dudes just like can dance over those fast parts and like make verses like really memorable. And also just like the Poison Idea 7-inch, like the drumming is so great on this. Like it just drives the whole thing. Chris, what do you think about this and how familiar were you with it before this exercise?
A little bit, but not too. Like this is a band that I'd checked out before. But like you were saying, Zach, because it was a step, not quite on like the Minor Threat tier. It was something that I didn't dismiss, but I didn't really have a desire to go back and revisit it. And so this was a good opportunity to do that. And a bit eye opening, you know, as I dug into it more, this really rips. Like, I don't know. It's a style of hardcore that if you do it really well, I feel like I don't have much to say about it other than, yep, this rips. This is hardcore. But yeah, yep, this absolutely rips. It's fast hardcore, done really well. Lots of simple leads and then some less simple leads, but they work well. Lots of starts and stops on a dime, blazing drums. The lead on the song Government is epic, and then it goes into some straight up like circus music part. But it's kind of cool. I'm here for it. The other thing that really stood out is there's a lot of gang vocal parts, and not quite in like the Youth Crew style, but you know, that early 80s style gang vocal part. And I think that's where like some of the hooks come is those gang vocal parts. 700 Club, the opener, absolute classic. Like, what a song. Lyrics, can't really understand them, but sound kind of cool. And then the other thing, it's interesting that the cover art for this is so iconic because it's so simple. But I feel like I've seen this painted on like tons of leather jackets, you know? So I think it's interesting for something that's not like overly clever, like the Dead Kennedys, like DK, or like, you know, easy to draw like a Black Flag, you know, the 4 Black Flag bars. It's interesting for something that is not those things to be so iconic, but I don't know, there's something about this that just makes it that, and it's so simple and perfect. It's awesome, and it evokes a vibe that is perfect too.
Yeah, like it's the same thing if you look at like old flyers from like this era, right? Like you look at it and it's like, damn, this is so simple, but it's so good. And at some point, because I'm going through like this stupid project I'm doing, and like everything like falls apart like around 1990, right? It's just like, ugh. But like in this early 80s and mid 80s, like, I don't know, the typography is like so simple and so iconic and so beautiful. And they kind of capture like that vibe of like the early 80s flyer, like in this album cover. Super sick. Yeah, that song, It's Okay, is my favorite song on here. I just wanted to speak a little bit digging into the songs. I love like the talking part on the bridge, you know, and then going into like that little riffy bit at the end, and then right into like the way Government kicks off, which is like probably the most unhinged song on the record. Also, like the last song, Acid Casualty, is just so out of control. And it's like, it could easily have just been a song on Pick Your King. It is so good. This whole thing just blazes. I think that's the word we're overusing for this for this segment. But that's what it is. It's just 8 fucking blazers down the pipe, right? 2 songs are over a minute, but one of them is 101 and one of them is 103. It's just in and out blueprint hardcore. And it's like, you know, how we say the recording's the fifth member. Here it is. Like, bands just can't sound like this anymore because they can't get like a recording that sounds like this. So it's just timeless, great hardcore, and so notable. And I'm just so happy that it's on streaming and everyone can check this shit out. Someone give the CIA 7-inch up next. That's the other one that needs to get called out.
You put this on the thing, and you know, obviously, I just said I hadn't heard this before, so I did a little like digging around while I was listening to it, like just like, oh, who was this guy? And there's an interview someone did with the guitar player a few years back, and the quote I remember from reading while listening along to this was, "We just wanted to be faster than the Circle Jerks." That's like a quote that he said. So I was like, yeah, blazing fast is right.
That rules. Yeah, hell yeah. All right, Dan, final thoughts on the episode.
Just killer hardcore is still coming out. We are in the 8th month of 2023, and it is not slowing down. It is just giving you so much to listen to. And listener, don't just go, oh yeah, side A is probably better than side B, or side B is better. Listen to Blood, Sweat, and No Tears and just realize what a band Sick of It All is.
Oh yeah. Chris, final thoughts on the episode.
Hardcore. Sick. I love it.
Well, that's what's up. Okay, Dan, where can people find you?
At Southport Instagrammer on Instagram.
Chris, where can people find you?
Chris Williams, 5-1 on Instagram.
All right, everyone, go check out Bayonet and Entry on Tour if they're coming to your city, handle business. And yeah, everyone, listen to Blessed With No Tears. What the fuck? And listen to Coro. And shout out to all the labels that are getting like old stuff up on streaming. You are the heroes. No shout out to Crucial Response Records. And yeah, everyone, get at me. Let's see here. 185milesouth@gmail.com is the best way. I respond to everyone. Also 185milesouth on Instagram, Twitter, Threads, if that's still a thing. And also my personal Zach Retaliate on Instagram. And you know, Retaliate is the best on Instagram. Everyone, we love you all. We'll talk to you again next Monday on Patreon.